The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, welcome to week two. Last week we launched a brand new series called The Blessed Life. And so if you've got a service guide, you all should have got a service guide when you walked in. Inside that is a little sermon outline. You can follow along with us. All the scriptures are in here as well as a place to fill in the blanks. The title of today's message, of today's lesson, is called the Blessed Test. Everybody say the Blessed Test. All right, so for many of us here in this room this morning, it's been a long time since we've had to take a test. How many of you know that that's true? And so as soon as you say the word test, some people start to get butterflies in their stomach, and wow, is this like that, you know, that you go into high school and the teacher would be like, pop quiz. How many of you remember those pop quizzes? They wanted to make sure you were paying attention in class. But I don't want anyone here to have test anxiety today. 1 Timothy 6:17-18, it says this. It says, teach those who are rich. Everybody say rich. In this world, not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Verse 18, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. Of course, reading a passage like this, if you're anything like me and you read this talking about rich people, you may think, oh, I know exactly who this scripture is about, right? You know, like people like Bill Gates and Mark Cuban and Warren Buffett and Mark Attanasio, the owner of the Brewers. This verse is about those people. I'm not rich. But truthfully, this scripture is about every single one of us in this room. We are rich in this present world. Let me prove it to you. I know you may not think it, but let me prove it to you. About half of the people alive today, over 3.5 billion people, live on $2 a day or less. Only 3% of people in the world own a car. Many of us here in this room have two vehicles in our household. Most of us here even have barns or houses for our cars and the rest of the junk that we can't fit anywhere else in our home. How many of you have ever gone through this? You push through your closet and you're struggling. What do we say? I don't have anything to wear, right? Yet it's so full we can't even pull something out because there's so much in it. And with these facts at the front of your mind, I want to ask you this question. How many of you recognize, in comparison to most of the world, that you are rich? Would you raise your hand? Okay, I haven't convinced some of you, all right? Well, I'm telling you, you are rich. And here's what I hope you'll understand as we're talking about the blessed test this morning. God is actually testing you. Every time you get a paycheck, he wants to know if you are going to be faithful. And so here's the question, if you're following along and going to take notes with us. God wants to know this. The first blank on your outline is, will you love and trust money, or will you love and trust God? God wants to know, will you love and trust money and things and material resources, or will you love and will you trust him? Jesus said this in Luke 16:10-11. He said, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. He is testing you. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? So we have this question, is can you be trusted with a truly blessed life? You see, here's what God knows. God knows that for most of us in this room, for most of us, money and things are the biggest competitor for our hearts. Truthfully, many of you, as we talk through this today, you're gonna find yourself wanting to be defensive as you hear this morning. In fact, that's why last week we threw out a whole bunch of stress balls. We don't want anyone to be stressed. So if you didn't get one last week, as you walk out, we've got stress balls at the table for you. But the reason is because for most of us, money is the number one competitor for our hearts. And here's the problem with that, is that money is actually a counterfeit God. Money promises what only God can provide. It's a counterfeit Savior. Let me show you four things that money promises. Number one, money promises security. Security. If you have more, you'll be secure. Number two, money promises freedom. If you have more, you'll be free. Number three is money promises power. If you have enough, you'll be powerful. And finally, number four, money promises significance. If you've got enough money, then you'll be important to everyone. But the truth is, and in all honesty this morning, is only God can provide security. You could have $1 billion in your bank account right now, but if you discover that your child or your spouse has stage 4 cancer and has 2 weeks left to live, you realize that all the money in the world isn't going to make you secure. Money can't give you freedom. Some of the richest people in the world, we see the tragedies unfold in our newspapers and on the TV, battle with these chains of loneliness and addiction and anxiety. You can accumulate everything that the world has to offer and still be empty, because our significance is only found through our identity in Jesus Christ. And God is asking this question this morning: will you love and trust money, or will you love and trust Him? And this is why Jesus talked a lot about this. In fact, the subject of money is talked about more than any other subject in the entire scriptures. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Interesting, isn't it, that Jesus could have said anything here. He could have said, you know, you can't serve both God and your job, or you can't serve both God and your house, or you can't serve both God and power. But he said, no, he said, you can't serve both God and money, because he understands the pull that money has on us. He understands that it is a counterfeit God. So in the area of finances, he is testing us. And so that's why we've entitled this message, The Blessed Test. I believe if you are a Christian, if you're a committed follower of Christ, here's a promise that we should all make to God. It's the next blank in your outline is I will give God my first and best so he can bless the rest. I will give God my first and my best so that he can bless the rest. Today we're going to look at a couple of angles on this test, but the most obvious way that God tests us is with the tithe. Tithing is a test. And this morning what I want to do is I hope to create some clarity around what really is a misunderstood, it's an ambiguous subject. There's lots of misconceptions about this subject, and I know that there are also people who are new to church. They have no idea even what I'm talking about when I say the word tithe. And so listen, I want you to understand my heart as a pastor speaking to you this morning is that the hope of this message today is I don't want anyone to walk out of these doors this morning and feel guilty or feel under condemnation or use this to let the enemy whisper in your ear. But really, I'm telling you this because I want you to know what God's plan is for your life so that you can live a blessed life. Blessing comes through giving, and God has a plan for how our finances should be managed. This is what Moses said about the tithe in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. He said, a tithe of everything, everybody say everything, from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And so you may ask, if you're one of those people, when you hear the word tithe and you have no idea what that means, what does that mean? A tithe simply means one-tenth, a tithe of everything, of every increase, of a tithe of what I earn. So if I sell my house and I sell my house for a profit, a tithe of the increase. Whatever increase I see, we return that to God. It's not mine. It's holy to the Lord. It is His. So if you're a technical person, I have one of my three children is very technical. I mean, it is by the letter of the law, and if it's not, he'll be sure to tell you. If you're a technical person, if you think in that way, tithing is really not even giving. Tithing is simply returning what belongs to the Lord. When the Bible says, we're going to read this scripture in just a few minutes, bring the tithe into the storehouse, it says bring. Notice it doesn't say give the tithe, because it's not really ours. We don't give tithes. In fact, some churches, I've heard it talked about, you need to pay your tithes. We surely don't pay our tithes. We bring our tithes to God. I'm going to give you an example of this. It was years ago. Josiah was just little. He had graduated. Many parents will remember this. He had graduated out of Happy Meals. How many of you remember when your child graduated out of Happy Meals? And before, now they have the Mighty Kids meals, but they used to only have the Happy Meals. So you had to go from like a 4-piece nugget meal to a 10. There was like no in between. How many of you guys remember what I'm talking about, right? And so there was one Sunday morning, it was after church, and we had decided, I don't know what possessed us to want to even go to McDonald's. We don't do that anymore. God's delivered us from that. But that Sunday morning, we went through the drive-thru at McDonald's. And I said, hey, give me a nugget, Josiah. I had gotten him the 10-piece. You know, he's used to 4. Give me a nugget. And he said, no, Dad, like any well-trained kid. He said, no, Dad, these are mine. Right? And kind of like, you know, any of you that's seen Napoleon Dynamite, get your own tots. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, no. And I said to him, no, I need a nugget. And he said, no, these are mine. And so I, being the great parent I am, I saw this great teaching moment. And so I said to him, what you need to understand is that I, your father, provided the nuggets for you. I provided the food, and so I want 10% back to the house. Return to me the tithe of the nuggets, all right? We could have called this the tithe of the nugget message. The way I see it is I can make sure until you're 18, you will never eat another nugget again. Or you can give me the tithe of your nugget, and I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour out so many nuggets, you'll never even be able to eat them all in your lifetime. All right, and so in a very silly way, he heard about the principle right there. In fact, watch how God frames the tithe in Malachi. This is a very significant passage. It's really a powerful concept. Malachi 3:8, he says, will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, well, how have we robbed you, God? In your tithes and contributions. And he says to his people who are not returning the first and the best, you are not living the blessed life right now. In fact, quite the opposite, because verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. And so I want to give you a little context here. Israel was under a curse because they were not tithing. They were not returning back to God. And so Israel's wrestling with these consequences of not returning what belonged to God. They were in terrible famine. They were having terrible difficulties. You know, that's like the stock market had collapsed. And you know, sometimes, you know, people will come and they'll talk to me about having financial problems. And one of the first things that I think, and sometimes if the conversation goes far enough and if they trust me and love me enough, I want to ask them is are you tithing? Are you tithing? Because if you're not, you are not allowing God the opportunity to bless what you have. God says that we are robbing him if we don't bring 10% back to him. Now I want you to hear me. I'm going to pause right here. I want you to hear me. I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm not saying that you're cursed. I'm not saying any of those things because there are people in this room that are hearing this concept for the very first time today. You've never been taught it by your parents or previous church leaders. And that's why I feel like it's my responsibility to share something that has the power to transform and change your life, to help you move into this blessed life that we are talking about in this series. If you're going to have the blessed life that God wants you to have, how many of you know this to be true? We need to submit everything to the plan of God, from our marriages, right, to our relationships, to our parenting, to how we handle our careers and our character and our integrity, and even our finances. And people will say this morning, well, this robbing talk is pretty strong language. It's pretty harsh. And listen, I understand there are lots of things that I read through the scriptures that come across as pretty harsh. And so this is what I want to tell you. Please, I know it's difficult, but don't get angry at me, all right? How many of you have heard the saying, don't shoot the messenger, all right? This is God's word. This is God's book. Listen, I want every single one of you to love me after this. And if you want to talk more about it afterwards, I definitely can do that. But listen, don't get mad at me. You can get mad at the Bible if you want to. But please don't get mad at me. All right, there have been times in my life that I've been upset with God. Have any of you ever been upset with God? Anybody here? Like, there have been times I've read things in Scripture and it kind of makes me mad. And listen, I'm going to tell you, when that happens, that's fine. Just talk to God about it. I remember one time I was so upset at somebody and I'm reading through the Scripture and God said, love your enemy. And I was like, man, God, why do I have to love my enemy? If they were here right now, I would throat punch them right now. I'm so mad at them, right? So listen, it's all right to be upset. It's all right to be upset. In fact, you know, thinking about money, I just realized this morning I forgot my cash. I forgot my cash at home. So I don't know how I'm gonna buy lunch, man. Don't you hate that when that happens? Like, man, I had my cash sitting on the desk and I had it there and I don't know how. What's up? Wow. Woo! Let's give Ethan a hand. Sweet. 20, 40. 60. These are even crispy. Crispy bills, $100. We're gonna eat good today, Charlotte, for lunch. We might even be able to afford more than McDonald's today, all right? Awesome, man. As you can imagine, Ethan is a wonderful guy, and I love him, but that was actually all set up ahead of time. I gave him that $100 before service started. Ethan is a very kind individual. He normally hasn't ever come up to me in the past and thrown out $100 for me before. It's great that he followed through with the plan, because I'd have been really concerned if I got to that point in the message and he just left and got in his car and left for today. But notice, when I said I didn't have money, nobody else here ran up to the front with cash. Why? And why would Ethan come up? Because it wasn't his. Do you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't his to keep, so he was quick to offer that back to me. And so whenever I bring the tithe back to God, I'm simply returning what he has already given to me back to him. And so it's really simple. A tithe is 10% of everything that I earn. Anything less than that, by definition, is simply not a tithe. And so when you learn this principle, I'm going to promise you, when you learn it and you start living it, there are incredible things that are going to happen. So what I want to do is I want to show you three blessings of the tithe. There are many, there are actually many, many, many that we can go through, but for sake of time today, we're going to look at three. And so if you're taking notes, starting on the second side, I'm really passionate about this first one, is this. Number one, the tithe provides for God's work through his church. The tithe provides for God's work through his church. We're going to continue on with that scripture in Malachi that we're reading. We're going to get to verse 10. It says this. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse has always been the Old Testament picture of the New Testament church. And so as you return the tithe to the church, you're able to be fed, and the church also then is able to make an impact on other people's lives. Lifeway is serving the purpose of God in our community. We are the church. The church is the epicenter of God's activity in the world. The church is God's plan to reach the world. And I love what God is doing through this church and through everyone that's here. Since we've joined, or since we've launched the Lifeway just over a year ago, there have been 238 times when people have committed or recommitted their lives to become or be followers of Jesus Christ. That's something that we should be excited about. Since we've launched, we've had 14 people go public with their faith, and they've made the decision as Jesus commanded to be baptized, and they've been baptized in water, including the dedications that happened this morning. We've been able to dedicate 18 children to the Lord. Through the tithe, we've been able to help somebody that was about to be evicted. We've been able to provide a washer and a dryer to a family in need. We've been able to support missionaries in foreign countries. This year alone, just our small little church, our small little group, one of our core values is to be generous. We have been blessed to give away over $7,000 to help launch churches all around the nation and all around the world. That's something that we should be excited about. And all of those things that I read and so many more that I read, all of this is possible because of people that obey God. They actually pass the test. They return their tithe to the local storehouse, which in this case is the Lifeway. So going back to Malachi 3:10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Everybody say food. All right, now I got your attention, right? All right, this is what's happening today. Many of you, you'll bring the tithe into the house of God, and there's spiritual food here. That's what you're receiving today. You're receiving the word of God, spiritual food. For many of us here, the Lifeway is the number one source of our spiritual nourishment in our lives. How many of you love food, right? Some of you are already thinking, where am I going to go to eat as soon as this guy shuts up talking about money, right? Okay, we love food. Do you like the spiritual food, though, that you get here every week? I mean, I know I'm biased, but I think the music team, what Ethan does with the band is incredible, and it's second to none. You know, Mo and Sam and Shyla, they kind of put up with me here, but they do a great job. It's incredible to the teaching of the word here, to our first impressions team, to our hospitality team, to our amazing children's ministry team. I believe that we have some magnificent and really great spiritual food that's being put out here at the Lifeway. I know this is really blunt, but forgive me. Sometimes we just need to hear it straight. Somebody is financially supporting what you experience here every Sunday morning. Somebody said amen. That's true. Somebody is supporting that. And so the place where we receive our spiritual food is the place that we should bring our tithes. Shyla and I bring 10% of everything that we earn comes to the Lifeway Church. It's the first thing that leaves our account when payday happens every Friday. And so when God's people return the tithe provides for the work of God through his church. Number two, the second thing, if you're taking notes, is the tithe teaches me to put God first. Listen to what today's Living Bible actually translates that bullet point almost word for word out, Deuteronomy 14:23. The purpose of the tithe is to teach me to put God first. Here's the beauty. I can't think of a more tangible and practical way in our lives where we can actually put God first, where you can make the conscious choice to put him first. Some of you today are probably thinking, crud, this was the worst Sunday I could have come to visit the Lifeway Church. I wish we hadn't come today. Are you telling me 10%? Are you crazy? You have no idea. Do you realize, do you know what that would take? I would have to rearrange. I'd have to reprioritize. I'd have to make major changes in order to put God first. Is that what you're telling me? And can I humbly say this morning, yes, that's what I'm showing you, the key to a blessed life. Remember last week we talked about the bag, and some of you want to go from the bag to the basket. Well, if you can't get from the bag, if you don't follow God's plan, and from the basket to the barn where your life is just overflowing with all the blessings of God, this is God's plan. This is God's plan for us. You do have the honor of rearranging and reprioritizing your life around God. So the tithe that provides for the work of God through his church, and it also teaches me to put God first. And then number three, if you're taking notes, the tithe, it increases my faith in God. It increases my faith in God. Here's what the tithe does. It teaches me that 90% with the blessings of God goes further than 100% without God's blessing. Those of you that are tithers here in this room today, you're nodding. You understand exactly what I'm saying. It doesn't make sense, right? You know, like, I've sat down, I've figured it out, I've done the math, I don't understand how it's even possible, yet you've tried it and you know it to be true. It teaches you that 90% with the blessings of God goes way further than 100% could ever go. And so it teaches you to trust God. It builds your faith. Here's the crazy thing this morning is that God is testing us. God is testing us. This is called the blessed test, but not only that. I haven't found any other place in Scripture, and some of you that have the whole Bible memorized, you can pull me aside later, but it's the only place that I've found in Scripture that God lets us test him back. He lets us test him back in this area. The only place in Scripture we're allowed to test him, God says, I'm going to give you a chance to test me so you can see how good I am. We're going to continue on, Malachi 3:10, and thereby put me to the test. That's God speaking. Says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. Try me. Try me. I will bless you. I will bless you to the point that there is no more need. Will you return 10% to God? Here's the deal. When you do that, you can test him and he is going to come back. Anybody else that ties here will tell you over and over and over again that God is always faithful. It was about 2 years ago, we were in our pre-launch process of launching the Lifeway Church. We were trying to build our launch team of 35 individuals. We were trying to raise our $45,000 launch budget. I don't know about you, but that kind of money really scares me to death. And so we were working on meeting with people and trying to build the team. We had a really, really difficult week. It was a tough week. Some people that we met with, it just didn't work out well. We didn't have a good meeting. I wasn't getting anywhere in my fundraising. And I woke up on a Sunday morning. I don't know if you guys ever have this experience, but I woke up and I was just so down. I was even questioning God. God, you know, I know we've put out like 300 fleeces before you saying, if you do this, then we know we're supposed to do it. And every time God just answered. But this particular morning, I got up and said, God, this doesn't seem to be coming together. How is this even possible? Like this is, have I heard your voice, God? Is this really what you want us to do? And it was one of the lowest points that I personally was ever at in the pre-launch process. And I remember driving down 27th Street. We have our P.O. box right at the post office right there on, I believe, 27th in Edgerton. And so I pulled and I said, well, let me just check the P.O. box. And so I opened the box. There's usually never anything in there except junk mail. And so I opened the box and to my surprise, there was an envelope that was handwritten. And how many of you, like me, get really excited when you see something handwritten, you know, in your mailbox? And so I pulled that out, ran to the car, started up the car and opened it up. And inside was I believe it was $80 or $100 cash. Well, if they ever teach you anything in school, you never mail cash right in the mail, right? But inside it was wrapped up, it was cash, and there was a note that said, you know, just feel like I need to start paying my tithe to the Lifeway. You know, God bless you. And then it was signed anonymous. And then every couple of weeks later, I would get another envelope in the mail that just said anonymous. And then it went from being anonymous to single mother. It was just always signed single mother. Single mother. And every couple weeks I would get it. And it was about 8 to 10 weeks after that, I received another envelope and I opened up this envelope. And I'm going to share what this said. It says, I hope the planning is going well. I just wanted to share a few things with the two of you. Obviously, I'm now sharing it to more than the two of you. A small hallelujah party. Since I made the commitment to pay my tithes to the Lifeway Church, God has been blessing. Let me give you a little background. I have been out of school since 2011 and have only been working random part-time jobs. I was really struggling to make ends meet for me and my two children. But God, he came through again. In January, I received my first paycheck from a permanent full-time job since 2009. It felt amazing. I was on the road to financial ruin. I was on the verge of filing for bankruptcy. More than halfway through, I got so convicted that I called my lawyer and told him I no longer needed his services, that I needed to be responsible for the debt that I had taken on. But God has already started to honor the fact that I have taken responsibility for my debt. It is so amazing how God works. I know I have a long way to go before I get to where God wants me, but I also know with each step I take, it's really to when I let him lead. Until next time, single mother. And so you may be sitting here saying, well, this is impossible. Here's a mom who's on the verge of bankruptcy, a single mother at that with children and struggling to make ends meet. And can I tell you that while we got bigger gifts and we got bigger contributions to the Lifeway Church and in process of our launching, this church is probably here today because a single mother obeyed God's plan and she saw significant blessing in her life. I think that's really, really, really exciting. Now I want to be clear here this morning. What I'm not saying is that if you tithe today, you're going to get a new fill in the blank with whatever it is that you're looking for. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, but what I will tell you is that when you honor God with the tithe, God will prove himself faithful. He says, test me. Test me. This is a test. This is the blessed test. Now I know sometimes when you start talking about the tithe and we read out of Leviticus and Malachi, which are both in the Old Testament, you'll say, well, the tithe is under the law and we're not under the law anymore. And people will use that as a rationalization to explain that away. And here's what you need to understand is that the tithe actually predated the law. Abraham, who was alive before the law was there, he tithed to Melchizedek some 400 years before the law even was written. If you look in your notes, I don't have time to read it, but Matthew in 23:23, you're going to see even in the New Testament, Jesus unquestionably, clearly affirms the tithe. And so sure, the tithe as law has gone away, but the tithe as a principle is here to stay. And so I challenge you to get over your fear and look at Jesus clearly affirming it in the New Testament. Tithing was actually just the beginning point. So many people, they want to argue, well, Old Testament versus New Testament. But if you study Scripture, you'll find that in the New Testament, the standard always goes up. The Old Testament says don't murder, right? In the Ten Commandments, don't kill. And in the New Testament, Jesus says don't hate. The standard went up. The Old Testament said don't commit adultery. In the New Testament, Jesus says don't even look upon a woman because if you have, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. Watch, the standard goes up. The Old Testament says tithe. The New Testament says I gave you my life. I want you to give your life in return for me. Jesus says it's everything. And so listen, the tithe is the beginning place. It breaks the grip of materialism and trust and money and the things that we want and need. And we return it to God, what belongs to him. I was actually, this is in my notes, but I was reading something online this morning and a pastor put this quote out there. He said, you know, God isn't interested in your money. And then this message isn't really about your money. God is interested in your heart. But for so many of us, that where your treasure is, the scripture says, there will your heart be also. It's an act of our faith and worship, which is exactly how God gave to us. We give our first and our best. Listen to what Proverbs 3:9 says. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all you produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. We give to him first. We give to him our best. Here's the last blank in your notes. It requires faith to give first. If you give last, it doesn't require faith. We give first because that's exactly how God gave to us. Romans 5:8, check out what God did. It says this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So what did God do? God gave his first. He gave his one and only son, the best that he had to offer. And so when did he give? Did he give when he had an agreement from you and me that we were going to follow through? No, no, he gave before we even agreed to be followers of him. He gave his best, hoping that we would then in turn follow him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And so that his hope was that when we saw that our only reasonable response would be to give him our whole lives. As we close this morning, I want everyone to just bow their heads and close their eyes. I don't want anyone to look around. Sometimes I let you guys cheat a little bit, but I don't want anyone to look around right now. But I'm just going to jump right to the question. There are many of you here, you're going to realize I'm not the tither, and I want to be. I really honestly want to honor God, and this is a scary step for me. I know some of you, you can tithe here without even noticing it, and it would be easy. For others of you, you're going to be a lot like that single mother where everything is falling apart, and you're going to have to make some significant sacrifices, and so that step is majorly scary. But I want to pray for you today. I'm going to ask God that he would prove himself to be faithful. You say, I'm not a tither, but you know what? I really want to be. I want to start following God's plan. I want a blessed life. I'm going to give him my first and best, and I'm going to trust that when I give him my first and my best, that he's going to bless everything. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if God is speaking to you about this, no one looking around, I don't want anyone looking around right now, but if God is speaking, would you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you. I see hands all over this place going up. Thank you. Thank you. This is a place that I can promise you. You test God, he is going to come through for you time and time again. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. It used to be that we used to sacrifice an innocent lamb for our sins. We used to sacrifice an infant so that blood would represent forgiveness of our sins. And so here's what God did. He sent his son. He came and robed himself in flesh. And actually there are places that in scripture that talk about the Lamb of God. He was sacrificed for your sins, for my sins. And so he came to shed his blood on a cross so that we could be forgiven. And so I believe today that there are those of you, you're gonna call out on the name of Jesus. And here's what he's gonna do. Because he's already shed his sin for you, is he's going to forgive you. He's gonna wash you. He's gonna cleanse you. He's gonna make you brand new. He's gonna make you a new creation. You're gonna be completely transformed. And you're going to take a step beyond just asking him to save you, but you're going to make him the Lord of your life first in every way. And some of you, you're going to recognize this morning, you know, I'm more of a cultural Christian. I'm not really living this thing out, but today I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to step across the line today. Others of you, you've been far from the things of God, but there's something in your heart. There's a stirring in your heart right now, and God is just knocking at the door of your heart. And can I tell you what you're feeling is so real. You're here for a purpose this morning. You're here to surrender your life wholly and completely unto God. Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Today I make a decision to step across the line. I give my all to you. Lord, I pray you take my life. I wonder if there's anyone here, once again, with no one looking around, heads bowed, eyes closed. We don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up by yourself. I'm not going to have you walk down to the front right now. But if you feel like God's knocking at the door of your heart, that you need to make a commitment to follow him, you've never done that before. Maybe you once had a deep relationship with him, but for whatever reason, you drifted far away. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand? This is the best decision that you could ever make. Thank you. Hands all over the auditorium. This is the best decision that you could ever make. God loves you so much. I wonder now if we could all stand together. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. As we finish praying, we're going to sing one song together. And I challenge every person to ask this question. God, what are you trying to speak to me today? In fact, ask him that right now. God, what are you trying to say to me today? We have some leaders that are down here on the front, and should you need prayer in any area of your life, they're here to pray with you. Maybe you need help in the area that we talked about this morning, but maybe you have a physical need. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you have a spiritual need or an emotional need. I challenge you right when I'm finished praying, just step into the aisle and come down to the front, and they'll be happy to pray for you. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would take my whole life. Lord God, thank you for sending your son. Thank you for robing yourself in flesh.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.